it's very direct, sometimes too direct, but I appreciate it because I find that if you go forward with honesty and straightforwardness, it's always better than having some sort of gray picture. So for me, it was really valuable, but I do understand that it can be a shock for people coming from outside of Germany to receive this kind of feedback.
Hello and welcome to Inside Deutschland, your guide to careers in Germany, Season 2. This podcast provides you with insight into working in Germany and tips on how to navigate opportunities and challenges across the German labor market. I'm your host, Jessica Schuler, a Germany-focused career coach, trainer, and international educator. As part of the Inside Deutschland podcast, I interview people from all over the globe who've been successful in Germany and who have interesting insights and expertise on what working in Germany is actually like so you can learn from their experience. Giving and receiving feedback in a new workplace and in a new country is often linked with a lot of insecurity, especially when you're not used to the German directness. Dealing with feedback situations in Germany will, of course, depend on the workplace, but there are some general rules and tips to help you find your way through this new feedback jungle. This is why we chose to make feedback the theme of this episode, in which we will give you insight into the German feedback culture in the workplace and discuss what to expect in feedback meetings with your supervisors, colleagues, and clients, in addition to how you can find the right balance between constructive criticism and rudeness, and how you can give feedback to colleagues or supervisors yourself. So, to tackle all these questions, today I'm welcoming two guests onto the show. With Dana Newman, an American living in Germany and known for her YouTube channel, Wanted Adventure, I'll go through the method of nonviolent communication and its helpful use in feedback situations. But first, we're going to hear from Ajita Sringapur about what she's experienced. Ajita, who comes from Mumbai, India, is a DAD alumna and has worked in both India and Germany. When she moved to Germany, she noticed significant differences, especially in transparency, honesty, focus on facts, criticism, and the culture of asking questions at work. Hello, Ajita, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jessica. Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
We're excited to have you here today.
Yeah, me too.
You've been working in Germany for several years now, and I was wondering if you could just get us started by telling us a little bit about your journey here to and in Germany.
Okay. So I think it started because I fell in love with the German language, which sounds funny, but I love languages. And I was learning German as a hobby. And later on, I decided, since I was already working at a German company in India, I was working for Mercedes-Benz in India. I decided to kind of continue my journey here and also do my MBA while I was here. So I did my MBA at the Hochschule Pforzheim. And worked parallelly at the Mercedes-Benz office in Stuttgart, completed the MBA, and then started working at KPMG. So that's how it was.
And you mentioned in an Alumni Portal Deutschland article that you wrote, which we will link to in the show notes, that you, and I'm quoting here, you noticed there was a great difference between the expectations and the behaviors valued in both countries concerning transparency, honesty, backing up information, criticism, the quote-unquote asking culture, and creativity. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you noticed when you began working in Germany?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, in India, we of course, we do speak clearly, but there are in the workplace so many hidden rules. There are sometimes also certain latent expectations, which you do not know and which you have to kind of figure out as you go along because no one really spells it out for you that, for example, you have to stay late to be really valued in the office or you have to be working longer hours to be really valued in a job, which nobody ever spells it out. But it's always there. It's always kind of hanging up in the air and you learn to kind of smell it out as you go on, as you get more experienced. But in Germany, I think they would, if they expect such a thing on a certain day, they wouldn't expect it every day, first of all. But if they expect it on a certain day, they would really just tell you, hey, Ajita, I want you to be, you know, working more on this day. I need help with XYZ task. Can you stay on? And I think it makes more sense because it's so much more straightforward, you know, and it's honest. There isn't any hidden expectation. Whatever it is clearly communicated to you, so you know what you're supposed to deliver. So I think that was one of the expectation part of it. And about the asking culture, I don't know. I feel like I'm still learning to do this. Even after 6 years in Germany, I'm still learning. Because all my German colleagues, all the bosses, managers I've had so far have always told me, hey, ask a lot of questions. If you don't understand anything, ask. It's fine.
What about feedback culture? What was your first impression of getting feedback in Germany?
Okay, that's very interesting. I had, so at the Hochschule where I did my MBA, we also had very, you know, like mock presentations and I mean also real presentations, but they were kind of mock compared to how you would perform in the job. And the professors would also give really great feedback as to, which was very similar to how you would receive in the industry. So it started from there for me. So how does one get and receive feedback in Germany? That was where it started, at the Hochschule. And I think it was very interesting because they go into every detailed aspect of your presentation or of your work, which I found, well, I mean, very insightful, really, because I had not received this kind of feedback before. So going into your speech, your mannerisms, the task that you presented, the contents of the task that you presented, all of it was gone into very great detail. And there was a feedback about it. And I think the same is what I've observed in the work culture as well. It's also very direct, sometimes too direct. But like I said, I appreciate it because I find that if you go forward with honesty and straightforwardness, it's always better than having some sort of gray picture. Mm. So for me, it was really valuable. But I do understand that it can be a shock for people coming from outside of Germany to receive this kind of feedback. It is, it can be a bit shocking.
You know, and there's this kind of back and forth too, I think, with feedback in Germany, because on the one hand, when you receive feedback, it can be so incredibly harsh sometimes, even if it's helpful, right? And on the other hand, you have to then get used to giving similarly, I guess, harsh is maybe not the right word, but harsh feedback, basically, in order to fit in with the way that feedback culture works. And both of those experiences are really hard to get used to, right?
For sure. Absolutely. Well said. I do think that it should be mixed with some kindness, you know, like it shouldn't be, it shouldn't cross that one personal boundary that each of us always have, even at the workplace. It shouldn't cross that boundary. And also it shouldn't be so bad that it would make someone cry or something, for example. It can't cross that feeling boundary of like of human feelings. But yeah, you're right. It's very hard at times.
It is. And there's something to be said about a method that I was taught really early on in the US, of course, not in Germany, but I use this in Germany too. And when I do need to give negative feedback, which of course happens no matter where you're living, right? I always, right before I give that feedback and I'm thinking about what I'm going to say, I think about a mistake that I've made in the past. And I feel like humbling yourself and remembering like you're not perfect. You make mistakes can be really helpful in delivering feedback that is much more filled with kindness and the human element than otherwise would be, right?
That's such a great tip. Wow, I'm going to use this going forward. It's a great tip. Thank you for this.
When you think about German feedback culture, you know, and all these things that we just talked about, what would be the three words you would use to describe it?
Well, honest, for sure. Brutal at times, but I feel always very, very transparent also.
Oh, I love those three words. That's like, that hits it right on the nail. Yes. Have you ever received feedback that did make you get emotional or even cry? Maybe not right in that moment, but later on. Or maybe made you doubt, you know, yourself as a professional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did get that kind of feedback, but it was not from Germans per se. It was in an international project and it was a mix of people in that project. And yeah, it was from one of those. But yeah, I think it doesn't have anything to do with the country, really. Sometimes I think there can be really great feedback givers in Germany who would be kind and thoughtful. And there would be really harsh feedback givers in any other part of the world. So it doesn't really stick to the country label. Sometimes it can be irrespective of the country. But yeah, of course, yeah, there have been times like that. And it makes you doubt everything, really. I'm kind of the person who would, if I receive one bad feedback, I would probably start rethinking all my life choices. But
go right off the deep end. I'm the same way. I'm like, oh, I've got to quit.
Classic millennial overthinking, right? I think we all do that.
I was just going to say, don't hang your self-esteem on someone else's feedback.
That's right? So good. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yes.
You know, in another article for the Lumni Portal Deutschland that you wrote, and I quote here, people in Germany do not mean to hurt anyone's feelings by saying what's on their mind. They just are really frank by nature. I actually value this sort of feedback now because it comes with a background of truth. And so I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about this journey that we've been discussing now to actually appreciate this kind of feedback and what your experience has been with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I think this would translate more to, you know, your German social life than your professional life in Germany. I remember we were at an exhibition somewhere, and there was a group of us, and one of us got so close to the exhibit, and there was a child, a German child who pointed out to one of my friends and said, hey, no, you're getting too close to the exhibit. Do you see that line, that yellow line marking you? You can't cross that. You know, it's an artwork. You can't cross this line. And of course, the child was right. Of course, it's the rule. And, you know, everyone knows it. Sometimes I think the friend just didn't see the yellow line and tried kind of crossed over it. So this kind of things happen in, you know, your regular German social life a lot. Like even at the supermarket, someone will tell you, hey, you're not standing right in the right way. Just move your trolley more towards the aisle or away from the aisle. Or sometimes, you know, just going by our names would assume that we don't speak any German, but we're fluent in German. And then they're also a bit taken aback when we are. But yeah, but this dismissiveness also, you know, I mean, this we should push back on this as foreigners is what I think.
I totally agree with you. And I think it's important that you bring up this profession, like pushing back professionally too when need be. And it takes time. It took me over 10 years to muster up the courage to, you know, not pay attention to the person who's critiquing my lining up in the grocery store in the wrong way or whatever it may be, right? And also at work, right? And being able to say to someone who's maybe saying to you, well, we do it this way here, even if it doesn't make sense, right, the way they've been doing it, and being able to push back. And pushing back is not aggressive, right? It's maybe in the form of asking questions. That's where we can also maybe insert some innovation into the processes to make them better, right? So it's not necessarily only a negative thing. And I'm wondering, you mentioned you just kind of started to get to this point where you can push back a little bit. What types of specific strategies have you developed to maybe push back or overcome some of the discomfort when it comes to giving people feedback?
Yeah, I think it helps to, first of all, it helps not to answer just immediately. I'm still learning this a lot, but yeah, it's getting better very, very, very slowly, I think. And do not answer immediately, first of all. And then to kind of loop back to the person and ask them, why did you say that? Was there another reason for this? Is there something else you wanted to say? And a lot of the times I've experienced when you kind of loop back to the person, maybe even privately, not maybe in a big meeting full of 20 people or something, but privately. And then a lot of the times their answer and the reason they behaved in a certain way or were behaving in a way that was maybe foreign to me was the reason was entirely different and at many times nothing to do with me or my work. I mean, the background reason for it was something else entirely. I've experienced this a lot as well. So I think it helps to ask questions. Yeah, it was surprising to me how different things were than what I was thinking in my head. And they had a whole other point of view. They were doing it for a totally different reason. And that lightened the whole situation considerably, which I was definitely overthinking in my head.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you.
So sometimes in Germany, there's going to be, depending on the company and the company's culture and what they have set up, there will sometimes be like built-in meetings once a year, for example, where it's maybe less of a performance review and more of a conversation. Sometimes it really is a performance review, but let's just kind of refer to these as like generally, you know, feedback meetings. How do you prepare for these and what has your experience been at these meetings?
I think it helps to make a list of all the positive things you know you did in a year or in 6 months, whatever the time period, and make a note of those and try to bring those up in the conversation and try to also go into the details. So not just of the task that you did, but also an extra mile that you put in, something extra, some volunteer work or, you know, any extra mile that you do for the company, for the firm. But something that also adds to kind of your CV, which no one else is doing around you, which your peer group is not doing. So, but you are doing that, and try to bring that in the conversation as well. And also list down each positive experience. So because we deal with clients, I'm working with KPMG in a consulting firm. So we deal a lot with clients. So I also try to kind of list down each positive experience with the client where the client felt I provided some value to them. So that can also be linked with everything that you do internally. And then together that forms a very well-rounded feedback. And so I try to prepare for it in this way, keep my notes ready. I think most supervisors are also doing that. Most managers are also making their own notes this way. And then when you talk, it's more of a conversation and you're exchanging notes, which is good because it helps you to see that, okay, the thing you found valuable, the manager also found it valuable. And yeah, you can really build off from that, that this is why I deserve the next promotion or the next raise or the next whatever that you're planning for. So I approach it in this way.
Ajita, thank you so much for being here today with us and for sharing your insight about German feedback culture and working in Germany and for adding so much value to the show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Jessica. It was really great. Alumni Portal and Dad really played a huge role in my coming to Germany. So I really appreciate being here. Thank you so much.
Ajita gave us some really great insight into German feedback culture, how she's dealing with it, and how it can be both shocking and authentic at the same time. Dana Newman is a communication trainer with a focus on nonviolent communication, and she's going to be giving us some insight today into how we can use nonviolent communication as a strategy for giving and receiving feedback. Hi, Dana, and welcome to the show. So why don't we just get started by having you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, so I'm from the U.S., grew up in the U.S. I've been living in Germany for over 10 years now. On my YouTube channel, Wanted Adventure, I've got over 600 videos where I talk mostly about my experience as an American living here in Germany. I'm like also talking about the cultural differences that I've noticed, the German language. I'm also the author of the book, You Go Me on the Cookie, where I talk about the German language from the point of view of me, someone who has learned German as a second language, and the things I've noticed, some of the things that have tripped me up, the things I really like about German. I was also the host of the Alumni Portal podcast, Germany What Goes, a German-English bilingual podcast where we explored things in different cities around Germany. So for example, like the Augsburger Puppenkiste or Franzbrötchen in Hamburg. So yeah, for years I have thought about and written about and talked about language, German, English, how they are the same, how they're different, cultural differences. And in 2020, Stefan, my partner, Stefan and I, we decided to listen to the book, a book on nonviolent communication by Marshall B. Rosenberg. Marshall B. Rosenberg developed nonviolent communication, and we listened to that book, a book together, and I wanted to know it, I wanted to do it, I wanted to learn more. We went into it together looking for a new way to communicate, like a different communication pattern with each other. But I realized, oh, wow, this is the communication that I have been yearning for and like wanting with myself, with everyone, forever, basically. And so I've been continuing to learn about it and also thinking about and like getting passionate about the idea of compassion and empathy and how we can foster those things. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to be here with you today talking about this.
Excellent. Yeah, and I think it's maybe interesting for our listeners to kind of hear the background. You know, you and I also know each other, and we'd had a previous conversation about dealing with feedback at work in Germany and how it's kind of stressful sometimes, and it's infuriating, and it can be hurtful, right? And we basically kind of came to this discussion, and then you came with this solution, or with this solution palette, more or less, of nonviolent communication being a way in which people can learn to kind of receive and give feedback. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about what nonviolent communication is and what it has to do with feedback culture.
Okay, so it's a way to communicate. It has changed my communication pattern, and it has changed somewhat how I speak, and it has also changed how I think about things. So it's an intention that I'm bringing with me, an intention of I have needs, and we'll talk about the needs more in this podcast. I have needs, and you have needs, and my needs are there. So come into the conversation with my needs and your needs, and not forgetting about my needs, and also not forgetting about your needs. And it's this intention from I see me and I see you, wanting to connect. And the parts of nonviolent communication that we're going to talk about today, for example, those have helped me to bring me into this kind of intention. And this intention supports me when I'm speaking in nonviolent communication. So they go together. And I think, so we're in here in the theory, and I kind of think, let's dive in.
Should we start with an example?
Yes.
I mean, I think one thing here is it's still hard for me to, you know, present something. And this happened to me while I was studying. It's happened to me at work. I'll present something, be done presenting, and then kind of expect like, oh, that's great, or that's a nice idea or something. And then it's just the critique that comes.
Could you say like what the feedback was? Could you give an example sentence? You can also make something up.
Yeah. So I think, I guess... to explain this in a very broad way without making it super specific would be like I presented a concept, and the concept was very multifaceted, right? There was many different moving parts and it was very complex. And I did not get any feedback on the concept per se, but rather on like linguistic components of it, right? And how I was maybe, I don't think I'm always super intentional in how I communicate in a written manner in English or in German. And I think I got some feedback there where it was like, oh, what do you actually mean by that? Or this is not the right way to say this, right? And, you know, it's interesting because I can compare, I had an experience like, you know, a while back that was in a similar fashion. And my response was like, I don't speak German. My German is awful. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a total imposter. Why am I even here? Right? It's just like this big spiral
because,
of like, what am I doing with my life?
Because you took it like to you, which is also what I grew up learning, to take it to me, or to respond with like, no, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. Yep.
Those were the two responses that I learned. Either, oh, okay, you've just gave me this critique. I guess there's something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
Or, no, I'm not going to take that. There's nothing wrong with me. It's you. There's something wrong with you.
It's either you get aggressive with yourself or you get defensive with someone else. And I feel like the nonviolent communication, specifically in regards to dealing with feedback in Germany, has helped me get rid of both of those aspects and just let the feedback sit in the room.
Let it sit. And as I think I heard you say, it's about turning it around, turning the perspective from that the feedback is saying something about me, and rather that the feedback is saying something about what the other person is needing in relation to whatever they saw me do or whatever they experienced that I did. So yeah, that it's saying something about what they're needing rather than that I'm wrong or anything like that. It's saying something about what they are needing. And so then the question here would be, what are they needing? This idea in nonviolent communication is that whatever anyone does, they're always trying to meet needs. And these needs are things that are universal. So yeah, thinking about, okay, what universal need is it that this person is trying to meet? And so did you have any guesses? So in needs could be, I can give some examples of needs. Needs could be things like connection, autonomy, something like self-determination, self-worth, calm, relaxation, fun. Yeah, harmony, inner peace. So what?
I think harmony could be one, right?
Okay.
Because at work, you're oftentimes having to balance the needs, more or less, of a bunch of different people, a bunch of different personalities, right? And I think there is definitely a need there. There was a need in that specific situation to create harmony around, like, okay, now more people are going to look at this concept, let's say, or this project, whatever it was, and what are they going to see? What problems might they see? Let's try and fix those problems before they might point them out. Right.
Okay. So yeah, that's how nonviolent communication has helped me take in feedback and hear what the other person is yearning for and longing for and wanting and valuing.
But now when people are at work and they're getting, you know, they might be getting very critical feedback, let's say, and maybe it's very direct too. Or, I mean, what also happens with foreigners all the time, I'm learning, is your German's not good enough for this, for like you to be able to do this job. And it can be hard to unlearn that kind of knee-jerk reaction of like either, you know, rejecting what they're saying or being aggressive with your self-talk to yourself about whatever it is that they've just critiqued. Mm-hmm. So how can people, without having to necessarily know what the needs are of that person and what they're trying to fulfill, maybe how can they think about that person's intention in a way that in that moment would help them to respond?
So for me, sometimes it can be difficult in the moment to respond because my thing was going to be that's where self-empathy can help. So yeah, sometimes I'm really appreciative if I can take a few minutes for myself and look at what am I needing when I hear that critique? If I do put it into myself, what am I needing? Oh, maybe if somebody says, for example, like the comment about my German, I'm wanting maybe acceptance.
Yeah.
I'm wanting also, for me, self-worth. I've experienced that. I made some videos years ago, some of my first videos where I spoke German. And then when I looked in the comments, people had comments about my accent, and I took it to myself. I took it personally. I took it to myself. And now I wish I could go back to that moment and give myself empathy and see like, okay, yeah, I was really wanting acceptance and belonging and to be seen that I was trying and to celebrate how far I had come in my German and yeah, self-worth. So self-empathy really has helped me. What I try to remind myself is whatever this person has just said, they're trying to meet some sort of a need, just like I am. And so keeping that in my mind, trying to remind myself of that, that I know it stings because I learned to hear judgment, but trying to practice hearing whatever it is they say, what I try to translate it to is I'm longing for something.
I think that's so important because at the end of the day, when someone is communicating feedback to you, whether it's positive or negative, it oftentimes says so much more about them and really like what you said, like what their needs are than it does about you. And one of the things that I had to learn, similar to what you just mentioned about YouTube comments, I, of course, had to deal with negative feedback when I was starting Germany Career Coach and lots of it, right? And someone at that time told me, you need to learn to experience good feedback and bad feedback as neutral. So when someone gives you a compliment, don't let that give you like a, oh, I'm so great. That's so wonderful. Just be like, oh, that's nice. That person thinks my work is good. And so then when someone says, no, everything you do is total crap. It's not great. Like, who do you think you are to be doing this? Then you're like, oh, that's interesting. That's, you know, their perspective. And through that, I have over time, and this has taken years of practice now, I've over time been able to really see feedback on this kind of this middle part of the seesaw, mm-hmm. right? It's this neutral area. And I think nonviolent communication is kind of what that is, right? It's really thinking about what are their needs? What needs are they trying to fulfill? What is that person, you know, what are they trying to get across to me? But then at the same time, also in a way, putting a shield around myself and saying, well, that has a lot more to do with them than it necessarily does with me. So let's jump into giving feedback, because some of our listeners might be in managerial positions and they may be coming from, they are coming from places all across the globe where there's different feedback cultures. What do they need to be aware of when they're giving feedback?
My experience as well has been sometimes I have the idea of what I want to happen and then I go into the conversation, like without nonviolent communication, I go into the conversation with like, this is what I want the other person to do. And then I'm stuck with that one idea. But with nonviolent communication, if I go in with like, this is what I'm needing and wanting, and this is like my idea for getting there. And then I ask the other person, like, what do you think? Maybe they have other ideas.
Yes.
That I had never thought of. And if I go in with this like, okay, it has to be this way, then I'm like confiding it to that one thing that I was able to think of. But I would like to hear what somebody else is able to think of and see what we can do from that place.
It turns very rigid communication into very relaxed communication, right? Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being here today and for sharing your insights with our audience. For me personally, integrating even just these, you know, very basic components of nonviolent communication that you taught me and how to deal with feedback in Germany has already been a game changer. And I hope that our listeners can also take a few bits and pieces out of today as well and learn to, you know, like we summarized before, be more empathetic with themselves and others as a starting point, thinking about what are the needs or intentions that people have when they're giving certain feedback and what are your needs when you're giving feedback, right? And overall, being able to respond to feedback in a much more, you know, neutral manner instead of going to these very rigid binaries of whether something's good or bad, right? And through those different steps and different components, responding to feedback, I can definitely vouch for this, responding to feedback in work settings in Germany can be done with much more of a feeling of ease or Leichtigkeit mm-hmm. Than if you aren't using these aspects or these components of nonviolent communication.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm overjoyed. I'm overjoyed because my need for connection and fun was so met.
Yeah. I love it. Perfect. Thank you so much for being here with us today. Taken together, these were two really interesting conversations about the difficulties with giving and receiving feedback in German work context. From today's episode, I've summarized my top three tips for you. First, focus on the intention behind the feedback. Remind yourself that the person giving the feedback is likely trying to meet a need of their own, such as a desire for structure or consistency. So focus on why they might be giving this feedback. Second, show self-empathy and remember, it is totally normal to make mistakes, especially at a new workplace in a foreign country. It can also help to make some notes on the positive things that you've accomplished on a regular basis. And third, if you give feedback to someone else, it can be helpful to remember that you yourself are not perfect. Don't be too personal in the feedback you give and point out what the person can improve on and focus on suggestions instead of demanding and telling them what they did wrong. Thank you for tuning into this episode. For more information, check out the show notes. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd love for you to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform and follow the show. If you have any feedback, questions, or suggestions for future topics for the show, please leave a comment or write us via our online feedback form, also linked in the show notes. So last but not least, what is your favorite German saying?
I think this one works well because we've been talking about feedback. Danke für die Blumen. So it's a bit sarcastic, so I wouldn't recommend always talking about it at work, but sometimes in social life it can work. But yeah, so thank you for the flowers that you're sharing with me, which is your really great feedback, but it's actually not, so it's a little sarcastic. So yeah, sometimes this can work.
I love that. That's what you can say to the lady at the grocery store whose carrot tops you didn't take off correctly if she criticizes you.
Yeah, that's a perfect situation to use it in.
Inside Deutschland, your guide to careers in Germany, is a podcast brought to you by the Alumni Portal Deutschland. I am your host, Jessica Schuler. Sound design, music, and production, Stefan Stark and Arne Bergner for the Apparat Multimedia GmbH. Editing and production, Jessica Schuler, Amelie Baerbott, Charlotte Detich, and Leone Klüssendorf for the Apparat Multimedia GmbH.